views and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium. Good evening. You are tuned in to Black Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed. I'm broadcasting from behind the enemy lines of USA Inc. on this Tuesday night, which is our new time slot for Black Talk Radio, your number one digital radio station for independent black media. No, I've been on hiatus for a while. I actually did do a live broadcast last Tuesday night, as this is the only time I can really find with everything else I have to do a program. And, you know, I was kind of thinking about, man, do I really need to do BTR News? I got so much going on, helping out with other programs. But because some of the listeners got at me and asked me to, just made me feel like, hey, I have an obligation to these people because they help make Black Talk Radio Network. So I'm glad to be back on these airwaves with you. Tonight, we're mostly going to focus on Libya right now. Now, this is what makes me angry about Libya. And tonight's title of the program is Black Lives Have Not Mattered in Libya Since the Criminal Overthrow by the U.S., in France in 2011. And what makes me, I'm trying to find a proper word here. It's not really mad, but disappointed that now so many people, and I'm glad for them to be aware of what's been going on in Libya. And, but the sad part is it took CNN to do a report on it when myself personally and other radio programs have been reporting on what's been happening in Libya since 2011. I was telling you that they was telling lies on Muammar Gaddafi, talking about he was killing his own people, when that is not what was going on. But, you know, even back then, we were raising the alarm that this is a false flag. This is being done so that they can further their goal in Syria to overthrow Assad, and they needed weapons, because remember when they were talking about passing some kind of military package to provide weapons and ammunition to these so-called Syrian rebels? Remember that? And there was huge marches and stuff and a lot of protest against that, and so they didn't do it. So how did they end up accomplishing that mission? Well, let's go over there and let's just tell lies on Gaddafi. And let's liberate his stockpile of weapons and give them to these terrorists that's in Syria trying to overthrow the country. That's the whole point of the U.S. involvement in Libya. Now, France played a role in it. We'll be talking about that, as there has been protests going on in France, and they've been hiding that in the mainstream media. I saw a video on YouTube today. I think it was from a couple of days ago, but you had thousands of black people, Africans no doubt, in France protesting at the Libyan embassy. Did that make your nightly news? I don't think so. If you are like me and you only have, well, I'm not going to say that's the only access we have, because we have the internet, which they're, you know, trying to take that away from independent media right now, but I'm not talking about that tonight. We do have the internet. We do have other sources. We do have independent journalists who provide us with information, but it doesn't make it out to as many of the masses that need to see it. So that's what I want to focus on tonight, because I'm saying this may be the greatest humanitarian crisis this decade. not the Syrian refugee crisis. Remember all the attention. Oh, we got to help those Syrians, those refugees. So they said the same thing about Assad. Assad's killing his own people. That seemed to be their go-to line. These people are killing their own people. In the United States, being the great humanitarian that it is, we must go in and do something. Okay? Same standard lie. But y'all remember that some of them Syrian refugees is in Baltimore right now and other parts of the United States, but they weren't really caring about those refugees, because if they really did, they would not have destabilized Syria to overthrow Assad. So they didn't care about them, but they got a lot of mainstream media attention. Why did they get that mainstream media attention? I'm talking about the Syrian refugees, and do not take the sound of my voice to mean that I don't think those people in Syria also victims of U.S. foreign policy in the West. I'm not saying they should not have been helped, but I'm just pointing, I'm comparing and contrasting the coverage from the corporate news that they got compared to what these Africans been getting in Libya. And this stuff isn't new. This has been going on since 2011. And it is the greatest humanitarian crisis this decade, in my opinion. And the U.S. mainstream media just continues to ignore the events happening on the ground in Libya, because it just runs counter to the mission, which is their real mission, to rubber stamp U.S. policy. Unless, of course, it's someone in there they don't like who's seen as an outsider or something to that effect. But if they got a person that's going to go along to get along so that they can get out of office and then collect their six-figure retirement checks for the rest of their lives and give $400,000 speeches and whatnot, if they got a person like that in there that's going to go along with these plots to oppress people who are acting in a sovereign way, then, you know, they will do everything they can to support the lies of whatever administration. And Hillary Clinton especially, who played a central role. I mean, she even flew out. Where was she? Was she sitting in Italy at the time? I don't think she had the guts to go into Libya herself at the time. But she sat just outside of Libya being the point person, if you will, for the Obama administration, for the criminal operations on the ground in Libya. And certainly she has her friends in the media, as the emails from the Hillary Clinton campaign that were leaked, not hacked. I don't care what Donna Brazile names her book. Those emails were leaked by insider. There was no hack. You've seen no proof of no hack. All you've heard is somebody, some company they hired to allegedly look at their server said it was hacked, but the FBI didn't look at them. If it was a crime, hacking's a crime, then why didn't the FBI investigate this crime, and why haven't they prosecuted anyone or even named anyone that was responsible for the hack? They just tell you some Russians did it, and many of us buy it. So we know she got her friends in the media, because she told them, hey, let's elevate Ted Cruz in the Republican primary. Let's elevate Donald Trump. Let's give them all this coverage so that they will be most likely, because of the propaganda in the media coverage, to get the Republican nomination, and then it'll be a cakewalk in a general election. These are from the emails. You ain't got to believe me. You just got to believe the emails, which, again, were not hacked. They were leaked by an insider. Now, I don't expect Donald Trump, as some people call him number 45, but I don't expect Donald Trump to do a damn thing. But I will continue to lobby him through Twitter. I will continue to call the representatives that are representing the district that I live in, because they're not my representatives. I don't see anything that they've done that represents my interests. So I'm not going to call them my representatives, but the representatives from this district I have called, and I will continue to lobby for boots on the ground to go over to Libya and put them rabid dogs down. I most certainly will. And I wish I was a young man and something happened like that, because I would be the first in line at the recruiter's office just so I can go to Libya and kill some jihadis, some racist jihadis that's enslaving Africans. I most certainly would. I don't expect anybody else to do it or have shown the will to do anything. So that's all I can do. I don't have an army. I'm not Eric Prince. I don't have a security company with hired guns and mercenaries to go to Libya. I don't have any of those things. So all I have is my voice. And I will use my voice to keep calling attention like I have done since before the illegal invasion and bombing. Well, they really didn't invade it. They sent their proxies, those rabid racist Al-Qaeda types in, to do what they did on the ground. But I don't expect Donald Trump, so don't mistake my lobbying Donald Trump as me expecting him to do the right thing. I'm hoping to push some buttons to where he can possibly, because you know how shallow he is, you know how they say he's trying to undo everything that Barack Obama does. So, hey, go in there and undo that mess that Barack Obama did, that who you call crooked Hillary, and she is a crook, and clean up that mess that she made in Libya. So Donald Trump just strikes me as a person whose buttons could be pushed so that he can claim, see, I'm not a racist. I went over there and saved them Africans. I don't care if he claimed that credit. What I care about is those Africans being liberated from their captors. That's what I care about, because I don't see anybody else making any kind of moves to do anything. The only people making moves is people like me that ain't got no power, that all we have is our voices in protesting and making demands of the people who are in charge. But I'm just trying to keep it real. I'm not calling on any Muslim countries, because who do you think these victims of slavery are being sold to? Who do you think, also speaking of Saudi Arabia, also plot and plan with these, with the United States and France, to overthrow Libya? Muslim countries did. So, you know, these Muslims have a history of slavery, just like everybody else has a history in slavery. So I'm just at a loss. I just feel hopeless. I feel powerless. And I just want something to be done. So that's all I know to do. If anybody got any suggestions, they certainly can call in. I heard people talk about the African Union. If the African Union was going to do something, they would have done something before the bombardment of Libya, because Libya was a member of the African Union. Gaddafi used to be one of the chairpersons. They have a rotating chair and whatnot. And I can't think of a country in Africa that did more for Africans outside of Libya than what Gaddafi did. These is just the truth. I know y'all don't want to give him credit because he's a Berber. He looks like an Arab. He's not African descendant. He's not, you know, the phenotype, the black African. He's not sub-Saharan African. He's a Berber and whatnot, but y'all don't want to give him credit because of that. But I give credit where credit is due. The truth will stand on its own. And it's just shameful. It's shameful that the African Union, and I even read that some of them even participated in allowing the U.S. NATO forces to do what they did to Libya. And in all this time, what, 6 years? 6 years since that happened. 6 years. The African Union ain't done nothing, even though it's their citizens. Their citizens trying to find work and employment, fleeing from poverty, fleeing from starvation, trying to make it to Europe, and getting trapped in Libya. Now, Gaddafi did work with the Europeans to stop the illegal immigration into Europe, but what did he do? He gave them Africans jobs. That's what he did. He gave them jobs. And so, you know, this man should be remembered for what he did for Africans. And we should be ashamed collectively of what's happening in Libya right now. You know, and since over the years that I've been reporting this, but even more so it's become annoying to me about the facts on the ground in Libya, is the fact that we got some people, usually they're Democrats, they self-identify as Democrats or black or women, and they're seeking to question the culpability of the Obama administration in Libya. Now, what do we contribute this to? Do we contribute this to these people just being ignorant, just being dumb, not being well informed, or not caring, not wanting any dirt to be dug up on their idols, that they're going to act like, oh, this ain't really happening, or it ain't so-and-so's fault, and hey, you just trying to blame this person for everything that's going on in the world. No. What do I attribute it most to? Idolatry. Look up the word idolatry. Because there's a lot of idolatry that is practiced on a day-to-day basis in this country. Usually it involves celebrities like actors and actresses. Maybe it involves, not maybe, but it also involves professional athletes. And then it also involves politicians, where they become idols that people worship. That's what idolatry is, okay? It is about fanaticism. It is about blind worship. And there's a whole lot of people throughout the world, but primarily, I would say I live in the United States, but I witness it every day in the United States. There's nothing wrong with admiring people. It's nothing wrong with holding up people at certain standards of excellence. But when we get to ignoring their flaws and ignoring the things that they do wrong, it becomes idolatry. We don't want those idols to be tarnished. So that's what I'm gonna chalk it up to, is this pitiful need for people who practice idolatry to feel good about themselves or proud of their group, because hey, this member, he looks like me. This member of my group, he looks like me. Doesn't matter if he identified with any of my principles or values, or he looks like me. So, you know, I'm going to hold him up as the standard. I'm so proud we had a black president. I'm so proud. Look at that black family in the White House. See, we need those things. Some of us, not all of us, we need those things to feel good about ourselves and be proud in an anti-black society. I understand the psychology of it. I just don't agree with it. I don't agree with it, because if you believe in practicing justice, skin color doesn't enter into the equation. The gender of the person doesn't enter into the equation. Their sex, their national origin, and their religion should not be a factor in any analysis of the facts. Because labels mean nothing, and they should not be used as an excuse to lessen individuals' actions or collective action that goes against justice. We shouldn't be using those labels to justify anything or to lessen the culpability of the individual. Don't nobody represent me like me. Nobody represents you like you. We don't need anybody to be some kind of worldwide symbol of us. We can be that symbols ourselves. So, I mean, we're talking about a very serious crime against humanity. Now, I also want to look at reports surfacing that African nations like Chad are preparing to go into Libya to help fellow Africans being enslaved. But I already did. Some people have been sending me some of those reports that was circulating on social media. And sadly, it looks like those reports are false. And the result of sick people who want attention, who wants click through and traffic to their websites and platforms, that they will seek to capitalize on these tragedies and put out some fake news. Fake news is a problem, y'all. Isn't, you know, just because Donald Trump calls CNN fake news, which they do engage in fake news, all of them do. Fox News too, Donald Trump, he want to give them a pass. But just because he's calling them fake news doesn't mean that I have to disagree with it just because he's saying it. Because people been saying it for a very, very long time. Malcolm X was telling you about the power of the media and how they manipulate people's minds. But that's just sad, and it's tragic when we have tools like the internet. We can set up our own platforms, or we can get a space on somebody else's platform, and we use that to circulate fake news because we have become addicted to likes and shares and reactions from other people. And there's some science behind that. I was reading an article about how Facebook actually did scientific studies in how they set up their platform and how people crave attention and stuff like that. And they will post away and post all day simply because they're getting a dopamine high when somebody shares their stuff. It makes them feel important. You should feel important regardless of anybody else's validation. You should be important because you are you. Okay? We don't need outside validation as individuals or as a group. So that I'll take a look at that, share some of that story with you. I actually found some real stories, but no, I don't think so. If anybody has found a credible news site, a credible site, okay, a credible story about some Africans or African nations or the African Union about to finally go in there after turning a blind eye after 7 years, 6 years, going on 7 years, okay? If you got some credible information on that, I certainly would like to hear it so that we can pass that information along and we can give those people some encouragement and some spiritual support to go in there and put them rabid dogs down. Now, again, I have talked about this for a while. Where are the member nations of the African Union? And why are they seemingly ignoring some of their own citizens being murdered, raped? I'm even seeing reports and photographs of organ harvesting going on. Okay? Now, how could you, I don't understand how you're going to call yourself a leader and you let that happen to your own citizens? They seem to be standing by just like they did when the Obama administration lied about a humanitarian crisis in Libya, which was really Gaddafi putting down some of them proxies, those terrorist proxies of the West who were just going running around shooting people. That's who he was going after. But no, Barack Obama, Susan Rice, Hillary Clinton, and all their spokespeople got on TV, got on fake news, and, oh, Gaddafi killing his own people. All right, so, you know, I don't understand why the African Union has done nothing up to this point when Gaddafi and Libya shared their wealth with the entire continent. They didn't even have a cell phone communication satellite until Libya put one up in the sky for all of Africa so they could bypass the European satellites, which was going to, you know, charge them an arm and a leg for cell phone service. Gaddafi did that. After all this man did and tried to do for Africa, for them to allow that to happen to him, it's shameful, man. It's shameful. It's shameful to the point that, and I won't even play the promo of the station ID that says, I'm black and I'm proud, because black people ain't got nothing to be proud of in regards to this situation today. African, whatever you ain't got nothing to be proud of. Not in the face of this humanitarian crisis and we sitting on our hands. There is nothing to be proud of. So James Brown, I'm Black and I'm Proud, is hereby banned from being played on Black Talk Radio. until slavery has been abolished worldwide. Not just in Libya, not just in Mauritania, not just in the United States, but anywhere that slavery and these gross violations of human rights, primarily against black people, then non-white people, and then poor people, until these human rights abuses have been eliminated, there's nothing to be proud of. I don't care what you call yourself, where you're from, or who you are. You ain't got nothing to be proud of. Not with so much suffering going on in the world. Now, if there is time, I'll also get into some other news of the day. Well, I actually will go into some news of the day before we jump into the Libya affair. But I also want to share some stuff, if I have time, on the aftermath of the Zimbabwe military intervention. That's what I'm calling it. Now, the new president has been sworn in. Sorry, I don't know his name. I recognize his name. I just can't pronounce it right now, especially not having it in front of me. But he has been sworn in, a veteran of Zimbabwe's Revolutionary War to gain independence back in the 80s, a longtime member of the ZANU-PF party. And he gave, I guess you would call it, what do we call it here in the United States, inauguration speech or something. But he gave a speech and he said that he's going to be the president of all Zimbabweans, regardless of their racial classification. I'm paraphrasing what he said. And that Zimbabwe, and I'm saying Zimbabwe needs to do what it needs to do to make Zimbabwe a great nation for all its people. And if that means that they have to honor agreements that they made a while back and then, you know, for whatever reason decided not to honor those agreements, you don't enter into agreements if you don't plan to honor them, because your word means everything. Your word should be your bond, as they say. Okay. And if that means they're giving back some of that land to them white farmers, I say, what business is it of mine to criticize them? I don't need no symbols of black power, of black people punishing white people by taking their land and all of that. Because when they took that land, and it's not like they giving the land back, but when they took that land, they did not replace those farmers with Zimbabwean farmers or African farmers or anybody. Hell, I don't know if African Americans here in the United States is into agriculture like they used to be back when these HBCUs started popping up. They were big farming universities teaching black people how to farm and whatnot. Well, see, they didn't replace those people with competent farmers. Some of that land went to military officers and political friends and what have you. And so what happened? The farms fell into disarray. No food's being produced. And now Zimbabweans, from what I was reading, was like surviving on one bowl of beans a day. So if they need to feed their people, then they need to do what they need to do. And they don't need to be worried about what people outside of Zimbabwe got to say about their internal affairs. And I mean, I've even had people say to me, see, that's proof. They're going to pay those white farmers for that land that they took, or they're going to allow some of them to get back on the farms and start farming again. That's proof that the white people was behind the overthrow of Mugabe. No, that's not proof of nothing. That's not proof that the West was behind that. Because from what I've read and my analysis says that the Zimbabwean military, the individuals that took the actions that they did, took it to save the country and maintain its independence. These aren't the people that was traveling around in Asia and Europe spending millions of dollars on trinkets. That's not what they were doing. Wasn't none of them caught with $10 million in U.S. dollars in their house? The people who got arrested and put out of power, who were using Mugabe's name, because Mugabe's old, He should be allowed to retire and dream the dreams that old men dream about, of their younger days, of their glory days. Okay? And so, hey, I don't see any evidence that quote unquote white people is behind this, simply because they may be paying some white farmers off. And then I say to you, well, don't you know that black Zimbabweans also got their land took by Mugabe because they didn't support his political party, or they didn't vote the way that they wanted them to vote and what have you? That wasn't right either. But I'm wondering now, my question is, will they get their land back? Will they get compensated for their land? Because it was far more of them who got their land took than those descendants of colonizers. Aren't we concerned about them? I mean, if we want to practice justice and whatnot, seems to me they should get their land back too. So, you know, we can take a look at that. I ain't got a problem with anything that they deem that they need to do, because guess what? I'm not a citizen of that country. In my opinion, I don't have all the facts on the ground. I'm not put in a position to lead this country and recover its economy and to grow food so that they people ain't in poverty no more. Whatever they need to do to feed their people, they need to do that. And not worry about anything anybody else outside of the continent or outside of their country got to say about it. All right, now I do want to go over some news of the day, but we are going to kick some music. The way I'm going to start incorporating music in our programs is to feature a artist and just play tracks from their catalog. So tonight we will be featuring one of my all-time favorites, but of course Public Enemy is my all-time favorite, but Eric B and Rakim most definitely loving their music and that old school hip-hop. So that'll be our featured artist for tonight, and that again is Eric B and Rakim. And without further delay, we're going to go into a break, and when we come back, I'll get into some of the news of the day. And by the way, the telephone numbers are published there for you if you got anything to add. Agreement isn't necessary. We don't have to always be in agreement with each other. We just got to be respectful. We got to bring different perspectives. We got to put everything on the table. And then we go from there and we decide what's best or what's true and what's a lie. You know, so don't think that if you disagree with anything I have to say, that I'm going to jump on you or not going to give you an opportunity to speak your piece. That's not how it works, okay, on this program. That's not how it works. Everybody has a voice. Doesn't mean I got to agree with it, but I agree that you should have a voice, all right? So just want to put that out there. But that telephone number is 866-510-9025. Toll free, that's 866-510-9025, or you can dial 704-802-5056, 704-802-5056. Hit ** to put yourself in the caller's queue. I will notice you on the board, and then we will get you in. You can also join us in chat at uberconference.com/Black Talk Radio Network. Stay tuned. We will be right back. This is Eric B. and Rakim. Make them clap to this.
Make them clap to this.
To show our appreciation for your support.
Make them clap to this.
Thank you, DJs.
Make them clap to this. 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 I never let the mic magnetize me no more, but it's fighting me, inviting me to rhyme. I can't hold it back, I'm looking for the line. Taking off my coat, clearing my throat, the rhyme will be kicking it till I hit my last note. My mind remains to find all kind of ideas.
their self-esteem makes it seem like a thought took years to build. But still say a rhyme after the next one. Prepared, never scared, I'll just bless one. And you know that I'm the soloist, so Eric B, make him clap to this. Make him clap to this. Make him clap to this. Make him clap, make him clap to this. Make him clap to this. Make him clap to this. I don't bug out of chill or be acting ill. No tricks in 86, it's time to build. Eric, be easy on the cut, no mistakes allowed. Cause to me, MC means move the crowd. I made it easy to dance to this. But can you detect what's coming next from the flex of the wrist? Say indeed, then I proceed, cause my man made a mix. If he bleed, he won't need no band-aid to fix his fingertips. So I'm on my tooth, there's no rhymes left. I hurry up because the cut'll make him bleed to death. But he's kicking it, cause it ain't no half-stepping. The party is live, the rhyme can't be kept inside. Out of me, erupted just like a volcano. It ain't the everyday style or the same old rhyme, cause I'm better than the rest of them. Every B is on the cut, and my name is Rock Kim. Make a clap to this. Make a clap to this. To a quiet storm, but now it's out of hand, cause you told me you hate me, and then you asked what have I done lately. First you said all you want is love and affection, let me be your angel and I'll be your protection, take you out, buy you all kinds of things. Make a clap to this. Call the attitude, you need food to eat up. I'm scheming like I'm dreaming on a couch with my feet up. You scream I'm lazy, you must be crazy, thought I was a donut, you tried to glaze me.
Black Talk Radio, since 2008, providing new black media for the masses. And welcome back to BTR News. Scotty Reed on in on this broadcast from behind the enemy lines that I call USA Inc. Today is a Tuesday. It is November the 28th, 2017. The year 2017 is almost over. I think some of our people need to make a New Year's resolution to lay off the lean, okay? Lay off that lean, because that lean ain't no good for you. Y'all know what I'm talking about. All right, some of the news that I want to share with you. The FCC voted to limit internet access for low-income households. This decision will heavily impact minority communities, and it's not okay. So I got a question. You know, Mark Zuckerberg wants to connect everybody to the internet so they can be on Facebook and whatnot. And I've even read about them having these, let me turn this phone off. I've read about them even having these airplanes that fly around I think it was in Africa or parts of the Middle East where they were testing this to see if they can bring people Wi-Fi via this airplane that's flying around, giving them internet access. I wonder if they'll do anything like that here in the United States for poor people, so just so they can access the internet. You know the answer to that is no, right? Okay? No. They won't. All right? If you can't afford the internet, they gonna say too bad for you. It's a luxury. You know, you don't need it, which actually people do need it if they want access to a lot of different information. You could do a lot of things online, business-wise, education-wise. I mean, it just really has opened up a lot of people's minds by giving them access to information that they didn't have before, being able to get help with their homework, help in terms of their health and what have you, you know, alternative medicine and find out about that kind of stuff. So to me, you should be connected. You should be connected. I mean, I know there's some people, they preach about it, preach against it, but look, we had to keep up with the times. And sometimes, you know, we want to remain in the dark ages and we get left behind. But anyway, continue on with this story. Last week, the FCC, that's the Federal Communications Commission, voted 3-2 in favor of, I don't know why they call it the Republican Party, in favor of the Republican Party, opting to roll back Lifeline, the technology service used to provide phone and internet access to low-income family homes. That could be, you know, poor people. That could be seniors. You know, a lot of seniors, man, they need help, man. A lot of times Social Security, especially if they black, that ain't enough, okay, because you're getting underpaid to begin with, so you ain't paying that much in the Social Security, and then it's hard. Once you stop working, can't do overtime or anything like that anymore, it's hard. It gets hard on our elders like that. So this was something that elders was also taking advantage of. So former Verizon lawyer who has now become the FCC chairman, Ajit Pai, he stated prior to the vote that the objective of implementing such a change will help reduce the waste, fraud, and abuse that continue to accost the Lifeline program. Now, I'm not aware of any kind of fraud that was going on. I'm just not aware of it, okay? I'm not saying that there wasn't any fraud, but it's sort of like when they talk about welfare fraud. The majority of the people that's committing the fraud, welfare fraud, are doctors, okay? They're doctors who recruit people to help them with their multi-million dollar Medicaid or Medicare schemes. It usually be the doctors. It's not the little average everyday person, or it's rich people. I read a story about some rich people, and when I say rich, they had a net worth of $1 million or more, and they was on food stamps. They were falsifying documents. It was like 8 of them in this one town, and they got busted. But they always want to make the poor person who actually needs the help the face of the fraud and the abuse, and that's not the case. The organization also voted to incorporate a spending cap for Lifeline, barring resellers, telecom providers, and the like from offering Lifeline plans to inquiring consumers. Then how are you supposed to get it? Now, it does say this is something that the Republicans was pushing for, and they rejoiced over the decision to transition the program over to the jurisdiction of the states. I mean, that's why a lot of people don't have health insurance today. Because instead of caring about humanity and their fellow humans, you know, a lot of people base their decisions and their emotions on political ideology or identity politics and what have you. And so, you know, yes, Obamacare has its faults. It was really a Republican care plan that was written up by the Heritage Foundation. Mitt Romney was the first one to put it into practice as a governor. So, yes, the Obamacare or the Affordable Care Act does have its issues. But at the same time, it's having issues. It wouldn't have as many issues if all these different states would enroll in the program. Okay? So, I mean, they're really just hurting the everyday common person. And they don't care. They really don't. Because they all about privatizing everything and increasing the profits of those they got plenty. And they don't care about you if you don't have enough. They don't care. I don't know what their plan, long-term plans are for us. They're automating everything. Their robots will soon be driving Uber and Lyft. Robots will soon be running the fast food joints. Not that we should be eating at fast food joints, but if I need a job and that's the only place I can get a job, then I'm going to get a job selling you fast food. That's just the facts of life and survival, okay? But they're even turning that over to automation. What do they got planned for the rest of us, okay? What, soon, you know, they won't even need the garbage people that come down the street and drive the truck and pick up the garbage from the side. They won't even need the, what do they have planned for us? We need to be thinking about this. But anyway, the decision on net neutrality has not come up yet. I expect it to be rolled back, to be eliminated. For those that don't know what net neutrality is, let me explain it to you the way I explained it to one of our listeners who called me and asked me and said he didn't understand what net neutrality was. So think of the internet. Now, the internet, you might have heard it being referred to as the information highway. So think of it as a highway with two lanes of traffic, okay? Well, yeah, with two lanes of traffic. One is the regular lane for everybody else. The other one is the high occupancy vehicle lane. That's where, you know, the carpoolers, you got to have three or more, or is it two or more or three or more? I'm not sure. But it's got to be more than one person in the car. And you could use that lane and you won't be caught up in the traffic like everybody else. You know, all the people that's just one person in the vehicle. And then you start having these traffic jams and whatnot. So think of the internet like that, okay? So what they want to do is force people to pay to be in the HOV lane, all right? Now, of course, YouTube ain't going to have a problem paying. Well, I shouldn't say YouTube. I should say Alphabet Incorporated. That's who owns Google, which owns YouTube, and a bunch of other Google products and what have you. They ain't going to have a problem paying these individual ISP providers all over the country that extra money to put them in the fast lane and the HOV lane. Okay? Facebook ain't going to have that problem. Facebook actually has laid its own fiber optic cables to where it has then patched in to the internet framework. So they ain't got to worry about their traffic being slowed down because they got their own cables passed into the internet framework at these ISP providers. And if they got to pay them a fee to hook that up, which I think they do, pay them a fee to hook that up to their framework, they, Zuckerberg and co, got the money. You know who don't got the money? Black Talk Media Project. Who is Black Talk Media Project but the founder and manager of Black Talk Radio Network, the platform where you can find podcasts and other independent radio stations like you're listening to right now? We don't have the money. We don't have the money to pay Comcast, Verizon, AT&T to be in the fast lane. So that's what net neutrality is. And then not only do we not have the money to pay to be in the fast lane of the internet because they're going to create two lanes of traffic, okay? Not only do we not have that money, but they may start purposely slowing down the traffic in that other non-paying lane. So that's what we got to look forward to in the days ahead. I always try to plan ahead, and some of the options aren't very great, but they're the only options that we have. So we will continue to push out content through these other people who got the billions to pay, as long as we're able to push it out. But I will say to you, if you start noticing in a month or two that blacktalkradionetwork.com ain't loading like it used to load. If you notice that btrcommunity.com, our social media platform, isn't loading like it should be loading, like it was just a month ago, then that's the problem right there. Because I do everything I can to make sure that there's nothing on our end behind the scenes on the server that's going to slow that down. Routine maintenance is done. It's not as perfect as I would like to be, but I don't have money to hire a staff with people, you know, IT professionals and whatnot. So I do the best I can with what I got to work with. But so if you notice those things happening, what you need to do is call your ISP provider and complain. So even if they do roll back net neutrality, you're not out of options, because you as the consumer has the final say. And you can say to them, and I wish it was a billion people that was tuned in to Black Talk Radio or something, because then we could get them all to tell their ISP providers, hey, I don't pay you to slow down any portion of the internet. I didn't pay just to get some corporate lies, some fake news from MSNBC or CNN or Fox News. I don't pay you for that. I paid you for internet access to all the internet. And I don't appreciate you slowing down my favorite website. So either you're going to resolve this, or guess what? We just going to do without your service. Or we're going to shop around and we're going to find a company that doesn't slow down their traffic. So I want to say, even though the future looks bleak in terms of net neutrality, you still have power. We still have power if we act in a collective manner. But you should do everything you can in the meantime to prevent the net neutrality rules from being rolled back, regardless if the future looks bleak. At least you can then say, well, hey, I did what I could, as opposed to saying, I didn't do anything, okay? It's one thing to try and fail. It's another thing to not even try because you're afraid you're going to fail, or you have already accepted defeat. So that's a very important story. Man, I guess it's going to be left up to the states and the municipalities to decide if they're going to provide internet access other than the library for the poor. Because they do, especially those children. They need access to the internet and to the tools. All right, next story. Let me move on to another story. Keeping it on the media, y'all may have been seeing this story about James O'Keefe. If you don't know who James O'Keefe is, he's a racist. Just call him a racist Scotty Reed, okay? He's a founder of a independent media platform and organization like we are. Black Talk Media Project is a U.S.-based nonprofit media education and service provider, all right? And he did the same thing, all right? But guess what? Because of who he is, because of this system that we live in, this dude got access to millions of dollars. Lots of conservatives, whether they be white, black, or whatever, give this man a lot of money for him to produce media, and his specialty is producing fake media. Now, y'all remember the Acorn story? The Acorn was the nonprofit organization that helped people find affordable housing. So he dressed up like a pimp, very offensive, dressed up in his little pimp costume, had himself filmed like he going into the offices of Acorn, but he didn't. That was just to be edited in later. Had the girl dressed like she was a street worker or something like that, you know, very, very short skirt and all this. So they went in there, not dressed like that, but went in there at a later date and was secretly recording and had a hidden camera and what have you, and were asking these people questions about affordable housing and saying that he was a pimp and he had all these prostitutes and he was looking for housing for them. You know, something along those lines. It's been quite a few years since that happened. And so But what they didn't do, what they ended up doing was editing everything. They heavily edit that. Because to give, when somebody's telling you they engaged in criminal behavior and they, you know, looking for housing so that they can expand their criminal prostitution enterprise, and I help you and I give you that information, I'm participating in the crime. Did anybody at Acorn get arrested? No, they did not. Even though what was being portrayed in that edited film was criminal, you know why they didn't go get charged with any crimes? Because a judge in Brooklyn determined that that video was so heavily edited to paint this narrative and scenario of something that wasn't going on, just to target this Acorn, which was aligned with the Democratic Party, had I think it had a black person who was running it at the time. You know, it was a national organization. And so the judge said, hey, you know, can't nobody be charged criminally. This video's been heavily edited. That's who James O'Keefe is. That's what he does with the millions of dollars that he gets from conservatives and other organizations and rich people. That's what he get paid to do. This dude even got a, had a salary in 2016 of $300,000 a year. You know what Scotty Reed's salary was in 2016? Zero. That's what my salary was. Because I can't afford to pay myself for the work that I do, let alone pay a staff like what he got. So this is a labor of love for me. For him, he getting paid. He getting paid in full, which we'll hear that from Eric B. and Rakim in a later track. But yeah, he getting paid. So now he's in the media again. He tried to do a sting on the Washington Post with a fake Roy Moore accuser. Y'all know that former judge down there in Alabama who's running for the Senate, and all these women coming forth saying that when they were teenagers that he was stalking them and trying to get in their pants and all that good stuff. So they're going to get one of their staff members in the name of the organization that James O'Keefe runs. It's called Project Veritas. Okay, Project Veritas. I don't know why he called it Project Veritas, but that's what it's called. All right, and Black Talk Media Project was in existence before Project Veritas. But so they made that video of Acorn, and it was proven to be false, but it got Acorn shut down. Just like, because you had these Democrats, you had these other people who was giving money to Acorn who believed that it was true, and in a reactionary manner, pulled all their funding from Acorn, which was doing very good work in helping homeless people, helping poor people, and they pulled their funding based off this fake video. He should have went to prison for that, but he didn't. He then later infiltrated a senator, I think her name was Mary Landrieu, down there in Louisiana. They posed like they were some telephone repairmen, went up in there, planted some bugs, got caught, got busted, got charged, and were given a plea deal. I think he ended up pleading guilty to a misdemeanor. But wiretap is a felony, especially wiretapping a senator's office. Y'all know that dude was supposed to go to jail, right? But he didn't. He didn't go to jail. He just got a little black mark on his record. He does have a criminal record now, but it's a misdemeanor. He ain't go to jail, and he certainly had people willing to pay his fine, which was paid, and he ain't spent one day in jail. So that's who James O'Keefe is. And they just recently got busted trying to set up the Washington Post with this fake Roy Moore accuser. Now listen, I'm no fan of the Washington Post. They were part of the fake news cycle that was publishing them lies about Gaddafi to get you to support President Obama and Hillary Clinton going in there to do what they did. So Washington Post, man, they known for this Russiagate stuff. They got political operatives posing as journalists. So I don't see them. I don't hold them in high self-esteem. But at the same time, though, you know, that doesn't excuse anybody trying to set them up with lies to try to paint them as being, hey, they willing to run fake news stories and not. Yeah, Washington Post will run fake news stories, but they didn't fall for your little scam. So that's been in the news. And I just wanted to bring this story to you. You know, let me read this. According to tax filings, O'Keefe is raising more money than ever. He drew a salary of over $300,000 last year. But Project Veritas feels like a relic from an earlier era in conservative media, like a Glenn Beck chalkboard or a Fox News segment on Obama phones. So this article, which was published in The Atlantic, and I thought it was pretty poor journalism, because although they mentioned the Acorn story, they act like Rosie Gray and McKay Coppins act like that was a legitimate story and did not point out that it was a fake story, that how they edited that video. But that's not how they say, oh, it was a great success for him. It just launched a whole new era in independent journalism and blah, 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 blah. So I just wanted to bring this to your attention. Y'all heard of Andrew Breitbart. Andrew Breitbart helped him. You know, what's the name of that website? Breitbart. It's the name. Breitbart's dead now. Andrew, that is dead. But he gave this dude a lot of national attention. And that's how he started getting all this money coming in, because he was doing these guerrilla style videos setting people up. And what it didn't matter if what he was doing was true or not. It was just a matter whether or not it was effective in producing knee jerk reactions from the masses and other people. So anyway, that's one of the stories that kind of caught my eye, because I'm so interested in independent media. All right, so last story before I take a break, and then we jump into what's going on in Libya and around the world in regards to Libya. I'm still not seeing any protests in Washington, D.C. right now outside of the Libyan embassy. You know, maybe it's just not being reported, and maybe we got some brothers and sisters and abolitionists outside of the Libyan embassy right now in Washington, D.C., and it's just not getting news coverage. But I haven't heard of anything on social media about it, but we are seeing news about protests in France, and we'll talk about France's role and why they did what they did. And this is just me rehashing stuff that I've been reporting on for years. But this last story, you know, we hear a lot about people saying know your rights in terms of interactions with these slave catchers that some people call cops and what have you. But knowing your rights is also knowing the law, just knowing the law, period. All right, especially as it pertains to the area that you live in, because different states got different laws and things of that nature. And some of those laws may even be in conflict with federal law, and therefore you might find a way out of those charges. But we got a mother in Virginia. Let me see if I can get her name after this website quit being so busy and just keep spinning and spinning and spinning like they in the slow lane on the internet or something. A mother of a Norfolk student turned to 10 on your side after she was charged by police. Sarah Sims says, I tried to be fair, but it's not fair. There's nothing fair about this. What was she charged with? Well, she was charged with under wiretapping laws. Remember, I was just talking about wiretapping laws with James O'Keefe and how he wasn't held, really, really wasn't held accountable. Sure, he pled guilty to a reduced charge. Yeah, somebody paid his fine for him, but he wasn't really held responsible, especially when you wiretapping a U.S. senator. Come on, man. He was supposed to do some prison time behind that. But anyway, this mother child, and she's black, was being bullied at this elementary school called Ocean View. Okay. And so she said that she had had enough with the bullying. So she put a digital recorder in her daughter's, I think it was a daughter, yeah, her 9-year-old daughter's backpack, so she could perhaps catch some of the bullying going on tape, because the school wasn't doing nothing about it. And or if they did do anything, she wasn't satisfied with it because her daughter kept being bullied. All right, this is at, again, Ocean View Elementary School, which is in Norfolk, Virginia. And so somebody must have found a recorder in the little girl's backpack. And next thing you know, Miss Sims being arrested for wiretapping and recording oral communications. But here's the thing. I looked up Virginia's wiretapping laws and recording laws, and Virginia is a one-party consent state. What does that mean? That means that if I am a party or a person who is going to be a party of a conversation agrees to allow me to record it, or again, if I'm on the phone with you, that means I'm a party of the conversation, and then I can record it. Man, I got to fix my mic. My mic keeps going limp on me, y'all. Let me see if I can. Might have to hold it. All right. Sorry about that. But one party consent means that I can record any conversation I'm a part of, whether it's over the phone, as long as people, because North Carolina the same way, as long as I'm in the state and the other person I'm talking to is in the state, or are in a state with one party consent, I can record that telephone conversation. Okay. I have recorded me on the phone with cops before. All right. So that's your right. That's what the law says. You can do that. Virginia the same way. Now, you might say, well, her daughter's only 9 years old. She can't give consent. No, she can't. But guess who can? The parent can, obviously. So this is her daughter. Her daughter, she told her daughter what she was doing. All right? And so maybe, you know, the daughter might have gave it away. I don't know. But it was absolutely nothing wrong with what she did. And it was not against the law. And this, she has an attorney. And she should be able to easily get this charge dismissed. Should be is a different thing than will. Okay, because again, these people break their own laws. They don't pay attention to their own laws. They selectively enforce them. They selectively dish out punishment. So nothing is a given in a society still practicing slavery and racism. All right. So, but this is an important story because you may think of doing something similar. If your child's being abused at school, the school ain't doing nothing about it, and you're looking to get evidence of the crimes being committed against your child, look up your state laws on that type of recording first. But in Virginia, she did not break the law. Shame on these cops not knowing the law, taking the time to look up the law. And shame on this prosecutor if he or she tries to take it to court, tries to prosecute this woman. She was charged with, again, her name is Sims. Her attorney said they aren't making this about that classrooms. There are charges. Let me back up. 10 on Your Side contacted Norfolk Schools, and we were told because it's a pending investigation, no one could comment on what happened. We were told that in elementary schools, no electronic devices are allowed. Now, that's BS right there. That's BS right there. So you mean to tell me no teachers have cell phones in this elementary school? You're going to tell me you don't have any electronic equipment like PA equipment and all that kind of stuff? Come on now. Come on. The attorney, Kristen Paulding, who is Mrs. Sims' attorney, said they aren't making this about that classroom. So they trying to make it about some general policy. So what? That's your school policy. All right, they don't carry, that's not the law. Sims was charged with felony use of device to intercept oral communication and misdemeanor contributing to the delinquency of a minor. She ain't caused her child to commit no crime because no crime was committed. So there was no delinquency. Now, they're saying the felony charge could carry 5 years in prison. Instead of comforting her, she's going to a magistrate and being handcuffed, Paulding added. Paulding calls the two charges a stretch. She believes neither should hold up in court. You know what? The district attorney should just dismiss this. And all you got to do is look up Virginia laws on recording oral and electronic communications, just like I did for the state of Virginia. So I want to send peace and blessings to this mother in her time of need. And we're going to be in agreement that these charges will be dropped. If they are not, then we definitely will support her in her defense. They trying to enslave this woman for trying to look out for her child because they wouldn't do their jobs to stop this child from being bullied. Shame on these people. All right, let's go take a station identification break, kick some more Eric B and Rakim, and then we'll come back and we'll jump into this issue with Libya. And I'm telling you, I'm seeing some articles, and I'll give you the source of the articles, where they're trying to minimize the culpability. I'm not talking about everyday fanatics or idolaters, people who practice idolatry. I'm not talking about them. All right, I'm talking about so-called journalists, and especially so-called black journalists out here trying to minimize the culpability of Barack Obama based on his skin color. Man, justice ain't got nothing to do with his skin color. This story ain't got nothing to do with his skin color. He did what he did because he is who he is. Okay? And then don't be, and he's trying, Barack Obama trying to blame it on the Europeans. Dude, you run the CIA. They are in the executive branch. You had a CIA on the ground in Libya because Libya was a U.S. ally since 2005. Man, don't get me started. I'm getting ahead of myself. But we'll jump on that when we come back. Again, our featured artist tonight is Eric B. and Rakim. And this is Eric B. and Rakim. I Ain't No Joke.
No joke, I used to let the mic smoke. Now I slam it when I'm done and make sure it's broke. When I'm gone, no one gets on, cause I won't let nobody press up and mess up the scene I set. I like to stand in a crowd and watch the people wonder, damn. But think about it, then you understand. I'm just an addict, addicted to music. Maybe it's a habit, I gotta use it. Even if it's jazz or the quiet storm, I hook a beat up, convert it into hip-hop form. Write a rhyme and graffiti in every show you see me in. Deep concentration, cause I'm no comedian. Jokers are wild, if you wanna be tame. I treat you like a child and you're gonna be named another enemy, not even a frenemy. Cause you'll get fried in the end when you pretend to be competing. Cause I just put your mind on pause and I complete when you compare my rhyme with yours. I wake you up and as I stare in your face, you seem stunned. Remember me, the one you got your idea from. But soon you start to suffer, the tune will get rougher. When you start to stutter, that's when you had enough of fighting it'll make you choke. You can't provoke, you can't cope. You should have broke because I ain't no joke, joke. As serious as cancer. Who can keep the average dancer hyper as a heart attack? Nobody's smiling, cause you're expressing the rhyme that I'm styling. This is what we all sit down to write. You can't make it, so you take it home, break it and bite. Use pieces and bits of all my hip-hop hits. Get the style down, packed in, it's time to switch. Put my tape on pause and add some more to yours. Then you figured you're ready for the neighborhood chores. The E-M-C-E-E, don't even try to be. When you come up to speak, don't even lie to me. You like to exaggerate, dream and imagine it. Then change the rhyme around, that could aggravate me. So when you see me come up, freeze, or you'll be one of those seven MCs. They think that I'm a new jack, but only if they knew that. They who think wrong, or they who can't do that style that I'm doing, they might ruin patterns of paragraphs based on you. And you're all BDJ, if anything he play sound familiar, I'll wait till he say play him. So I'ma have the diss who broke, you can get a smack for this. I ain't no joke, joke. We'll be right back. hold the microphone like a grudge. Be a hold a record so the needle don't budge. I hold a conversation cause what I invent. I nominated my DJ the president. When I'm CI, I'll keep a freestyle going steadily. So pucker up and whistle my melody. But whatever you do, don't miss one. There'll be another rough rhyme after this one. Before you know it, you're following a fiend. Waiting for the punchline to get the meaning. Like before, the moral of my story I'm telling. Nobody beats the art, so stop yelling. Save it, put it in your pocket for later. Cause I'm moving the crowd and be a record fader. No interruptions till the mic is broke. When I'm gone, then you can joke. Cause everything is real on a serious tip. Keep playing and I get furious quick. And I take you for a walk through hell. Freeze your dome, then watch your eyeballs swell. Guide you out of trouble stage darkness. When it get dark again, then I'ma spark this microphone. Cause the heat is on. You see smoke in the finish when the beat is gone. I'm no joke, 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 joke.
This is a journey into sound. This is a journey into sound. A journey which along the way will bring to you new color, new dimension, new value.
When all is ready, I throw this switch.
Pump up the volume, pump up the volume.
Pump that bass.
You make me feel so good.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin from our on-the-spot passport.
Oh, my gosh. The music just turns me on.
Thinking of a master plan.
Step with the record. Step with the record.
Thinking of a master plan.
Step with the record. Step with the record.
Thinking of
join
a master
conference
plan.
Now.
This ain't nothing but sweat inside my hands. So I dig into my pocket, all my money spent. So I dig deep up, still coming up with lint. So I start my mission, leave my residence. Thinking how could I get some dead presidents? I need money. I used to be a stick-up kid. So I think of all the devious things I did. I used to roll up, this is a hole up. Ain't nothing funny, stop smiling. We still don't nothing move but the money. But now I learn to earn cause I'm righteous. I feel great, so maybe I might just search for a 9 to 5. If I strive, then maybe I'll stay alive. So I walk up the street, whistling this. Feeling out of place, cause man, do I miss a pen and a paper, a stereo, a taper. Me and Eric being a nice big plate of fist, which is my favorite dish. But without no money, it's still a wish. Cause I don't like to dream about getting paid. So I dig into the books of the rhymes that I made. So now to test to see if I got pulled. Hit the studio, cause I'm paid in full. Volume, pump up the volume.
Wait a minute, you better talk to my mother.
You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com. And welcome back to Black Talk Radio News. Scotty Reed in on this broadcast from behind the enemy lines of USA Inc., where slavery has never been abolished. Don't fall for them lies. That's fake news, y'all. Slavery ain't never been abolished. Look, check the 13th Amendment, which, by the way, last night I was listening to Melanated Roots, which airs on the network at 8 o'clock on Monday nights. That was a very interesting program. Lots of great information was shared in relation to slavery. I mean, I even emailed Brother Tommy, was like, man, I got to get them sources so I can do some further study on this. But I do agree with the assessment that the 13th Amendment introduced slavery for all. I do agree with that, because anybody can become a slave in today's society behind these enemy lines. All they got to do is convict you of a crime. Doesn't mean you actually had to commit the crime. Doesn't mean that what you did should be a crime. All right. Some things we have to leave to people's own self-determination. And long as what they doing is not violating the rights, the freedom, the happiness, the prosperity, the liberty of another individual, then they ain't hurting nobody but themselves if you deem what they engaged in to be harmful behavior. Well, if they're not hurting you, what sense do it make for you to want them to be put into slavery, where not only will they make money working these people, but make money just from their bodies being there, and you the one paying for it? That makes no sense. And then you wonder why your schools are underfunded and in disrepair, and, you know, war as well, but slavery. That's why all your resources is being poured into slavery, and anybody can become a victim of slavery in today's society. So that was a great program. The podcast has been posted. That was Melanated Roots podcast or broadcast from 1127. All right. The first thing I want to tackle is this story from the LibyaHerald.com, LibyaHerald.com. Now, I want y'all to know everybody in Libya ain't on the same page. Now, I couldn't get any information in preparation for tonight's program, but Gaddafi still got some sons out there. And in the past year, I have heard from some people in the know that they are trying to take their country back. All right. So this story right here, just because it's the Libya Herald, don't think it's the people or the proxy government that's been set up in Libya. And then you got three different factions battling in Libya, bunch of terrorists. And then in the meantime, one of the things they are seemingly agreeing on, those three different factions, is the enslavement of these immigrants. So people had tagged me in this story about the Chad military is about to go into Libya. Now, Libya and Chad have had their little military skirmishes in the past. And that's where that photograph that's being circulated comes from. It doesn't come from them massing on the border or something to that effect, like they getting ready to go in and save these Africans. No, that's an old photograph attached to a fake story, according to the Libya Herald. Media falls for fake Chad intervention story following CNN auction report. This again was posted by the Libyan Herald on November the 25th. Media across Africa have fallen for a story claiming that in the wake of the CNN investigation, like they really had to investigate, y'all. All they had to do was pull up Black Talk Radio, go to our YouTube channel, come to our platform, blacktalkradionetwork.com, and just put in the keyword Libya. You can do that on social media and you'll find reports going back years about what's been going on in Libya. So CNN didn't investigate nothing. And it was just last month that the UN, one of the UN bodies on immigration or migration or something like that, I forget the exact name, and I reported it on my channel back in April. It's on Black Talk Radio YouTube channel. It's been getting a lot of hits lately as people looking for new. I reported on the UN report back in April. So CNN didn't investigate nothing. They didn't break no news. They didn't uncover this story. They were forced to report on it. That's the only reason they did it. Years after the fact, this been going on, y'all. Y'all know it. If those people that follow Black Talk Radio, y'all know we've been reporting on this for years now. CNN, something must have happened, maybe because of the UN report came out, but that was way back in April. Something is under a foot that they decided to report on it now. Maybe it was getting a lot of independent media traffic, and I don't know what happened, what occurred behind the scene, but they finally did a report. But don't give them any credit for breaking no news or investigating nothing. All right, these facts were already known. Now, it says that Africans have fallen for this fake story claiming, you know, that Chad is planning to intervene in the country. Publications from the Cameroons to Mali, Benin to Senegal, and even further afield have published a story in which a Chadian army spokesperson was quoted supposedly saying that his country's forces would free the migrants and deal with the slavers who keep them. Demonstrations in front of Libyan embassies and indignation on social media will not change anything. And I agree with him, but we still need them. We need the demonstrations. We need the protests. Don't let them Libyans lead their embassy. Make them hold up in that embassy just like they got. What's the dude with WikiLeaks? What's his name? I can't recall his name right now. But y'all know who I'm talking about. I got a WikiLeaks story coming up for you connected to this. But anyway, they got that guy holed up in that embassy. He can't leave or nothing because he's afraid of getting arrested. And definitely the United States wants to get their hands on him publishing all of this leaked stuff and letting people know the truth. We can't stand for that. No, no, no. So that's what needs to happen to these Libyans in these embassies in the United States, in France, wherever they may be. Y'all should be surrounding these people, man. You know, not letting them have freedom of movement, just like them African migrants who are being enslaved don't have freedom of movement. Make them hold up in them embassies. But it goes on to say, but I agree with him. Them people need boots on the ground. And I know some people have taken issue. They wasn't coming at me in an ill manner. They were just expressing their point of view. But they were saying, don't call on Donald Trump to do nothing. We need to be calling on these Muslim countries. Well, the Muslim countries is in on it, is what I would say to you. In the African Union, if they was going to do something, they would have done it in 2011. And if they had any honor, they would have helped to defend Libya against the West and sent a message to the United States and France and NATO that no, y'all lying on Gaddafi. Gaddafi is a valued member of the African Union, and we have a clause in our contract to come to each other's common defense. That's what should have happened. It didn't happen. And as I told you when I a couple of days ago about the lady who published in the Washington, what was it, The Hill, that newspaper in Washington, D.C., where she's a business consultant, and she was in an open letter to Donald Trump saying, hey, you need to go into Zimbabwe and offer them some money and don't worry about any kind of short-term stability or them killing themselves. I'm paraphrasing what she said, all right, and to go in there. African Union, these Africans, this is their countries that they're coming from, and they ain't done a finger to help them. And that's why I say you ain't got nothing to be proud of. You can talk about that kings and queens stuff. Look, slavery happening right now, and they ain't doing nothing, and they abandoned one of their member countries and let them devils just do what they did. It's sick, man. It's just sickening. I hold my head down in shame as an Afro-descendant person. Also says that, but I agree with the guy, Colonel Fader Amel was quoted as saying, even though this is a fake story, I agree with the sentiment. Let me put it that way. I agree with the sentiment that we need more than demonstrations. We need more than indignation on social media, because that's not going to change what's on the ground. What it can do, though, is push buttons, put public pressure on the governments responsible. I say if you make a mess, you should be responsible for cleaning it up. That's what I'm trying to teach my grandson. That's what I taught my daughters growing up. You made that mess, you need to clean up after yourself. So United States need to be in on it too. France need, again, I know these people can't be trusted, but I'm all out of options. I'm all out of solutions. I don't have the answers. All I know is these people need rescuing. And these rabid dogs that's enslaving them need to be put down. And if Donald Trump can be goaded into doing it, then I say let Donald Trump do it. Send them white boys that hate Muslims in there to kill them rabid dogs. Send them in. I don't care. By any means necessary, let's free these people. They ain't got time. Again, this been going on for years, y'all. Now, the story goes on to say, again, this is from the Libya Herald, that social media in Libya, too, ran with the report. Again, it was all over social media. It was on Facebook, too. Somebody sent it to me on Facebook. The story was, in fact, a joke. No, it wasn't a joke. It was sick. It's nothing funny about it. Jokes are funny, or should be funny. This was a sick act of sick individuals. It says the story was, in fact, a joke and originated in an online satirical publication called State Afrique. A little checking would have revealed that the colonel was previously quoted by the same French language site saying that in the wake of the Paradise Papers revelation, Chad was prepared to invade and annex tax havens such as the Cayman Islands, the Isle of Man, and Bermuda, and even earlier would invade North Korea. However, in the furor since the CNN investigation, a common composed reaction has not been particularly evident. I don't know what they're talking about, common composed reaction. I don't know what they mean by that. Should people be calm? Definitely we want to remain composed. I'm not saying we should panic over this situation, but I'm saying we ain't got time for foot dragging. We ain't got time waiting to see who gonna be the first one to step up. We see ain't nobody stepping up. Man, I wish I had $1 billion and could start my own security company and bribe some people to let me base my people in their neighboring country so that we can go put them dogs down. Because I definitely would be down for something like that. These people need liberation. One of my cousins said to me, and I love my cousin, but my cousin said to me, he said, "But Scotty, the same stuff is going on right here." And I'm like, "Look, now, you know you ain't got to tell me slavery ain't never been abolished in the United States. But don't pretend like we in a dire situation like those brothers and sisters are in Libya right now. We not seeing black people tied up on the side of buildings hanging like a piece of meat. We not seeing that. We just not seeing the stuff we seeing on the ground in Libya right now. Are people being murdered here in the United States by slave catchers? Yes, they are. But not on the level that's occurring in Libya right now. Okay? Who knows how many mass graves are in Libya? I used to have a mass grave out of Libya full of black bodies. It looked like hundreds of them. Hundreds of them. They had to take some industrial construction equipment to dig that hole. They had to use a track hole. For those that have been in construction, y'all know what a track hole is. That's how deep and large that hole was, full of black bodies in the aftermath of what they did to Libya. I had it as a profile picture on Facebook. Has a few, most people didn't even care about it. They didn't react to it at all. It said, Obama and Clinton did this. Stop acting like it ain't happened. I've had that picture up for a number of years now. Didn't get much attention from people. Of course, some people commented on it. These are people who are in the know and conscious about these things, and that's, you know, why they see the stuff that I post, why they following the post and what have you. And they shared it and what have you, but it don't go viral. Like, it didn't go viral. None of the stuff I posted did not go viral. Like, this stupid story about a so-called black princess about to be in the British royal family. Black Twitter went crazy over that story. Okay? It didn't go viral like a lot of this fake stuff that goes viral. That, what does that say about us? What does that say? But I don't have all the answers. I don't have the resources to do anything. I just know these people need help, and I'm down for anything to help them. Area code 662. Thank you for calling in the Black Talk Radio News. Give us your name and tell us what's on your mind.
Yes, I'm Tommy, and I just like to speak on what you were speaking on pertaining to Libya. I don't have all the updated information on as you were speaking of it, but I do know from the time I followed that when it first happened. And what really saddened me, and it really did, that we had a black president engaged in that. And a lot of people may not like to hear that, but he perpetuated that, him and Hillary. And I've seen and heard with my own ears where they asked Secretary Hillary about the situation when it was occurring in Libya, in which she had enough gall to say, we came, we seen, and he died, mm-hmm. and laughed about it on national television.
Yep.
And we brushed it off like it wasn't nothing. And they disrupted a whole country's way of life. And now they pretend that they have not done anything that to cause this matter that's taking place in Libya.
Your name is Tommy.
We should really be ashamed of ourselves, as you say it. I could have cried when I seen how they treated Gaddafi, and mm-hmm. they showed footage. I don't know if he was exposed to that, but
yes.
I seen some clippings when they drug him out of his car.
Yes.
And beat him to death right there.
Yes,
right
I saw
there.
That.
Right there. And we had our government involved in this, and we supposed to be okay with that? Because I have a saying. A doo-doo sandwich is a doo-doo sandwich. I don't care whose hand is giving it to me. And
right.
I would like to say that because that's a very sensitive matter to me. And I thank y'all for letting me speak on Black Radio. I just started listening to you guys. And I thank y'all for that.
Well,
speaking out of the things we see going on pertaining to whoever's involved.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, I want to thank you. Please don't be a stranger. Anytime you feel like you have something that you would like to express, you can call in to any of the programs. We have an open door policy, but thank you for sharing your views, and I'm in full agreement. I ain't got nothing to be proud about today with that going
no.
on. All right, sir.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Now, one thing I do want to correct that he spoke on about Hillary Clinton on mainstream TV, that wasn't an interview that she was given to mainstream corporate news. She did that. And I'm going to mention this name, and y'all should remember this name because he is a key figure in this, and he didn't even work for the government. See, he works for the shadow government. He works for the corporatists who are behind many of the evil things that these governments do because they have these politicians in their pocket. And so Sidney Blumenthal was one of Hillary Clinton's unofficial non-governmental advisors on what was going on in Libya. And again, wasn't nothing going on in Libya that the United States needed to involve itself in except mind his own business or ask Gaddafi, hey, you are ally of the United States in the war on terror. Do you need us to help you put down these terrorists that's shooting up people? No. No, that's what they should have done. But guess what? They were the ones behind the terrorists. Okay, but to give y'all the correct what happened, Sidney Blumenthal told her to make that. That was a Hillary Clinton recording. She had her staff record her in this fake interview so that this could later be sent out. And the quote comes from some Roman general or Caesar. "We came, we saw, he died." That's not his exact quote, but that's a play on that quote. All right. And so she did that recording herself and released it because Sidney Blumenthal said this way you can portray yourself as a commander in chief. See, she wanted to be on point. She on the point. When I say point on point, I mean military wise. You know, you had the point person who goes ahead of everybody else and point the way. She wanted to be on point. So she made that video, and then the video was released by her people, and then it was later it got picked up on mainstream media. The first people I saw to publish that story was Russia Today, RT, to publish that video that she made so that she can portray herself as being some strong military leader. You know, cause women had this complex, and some of it's based on reality, some of it's not, that, you know, they got to prove, their, especially if they're in politics, oh, I got to be strong, I got to be able to show I can do the job just as good as a man. And so she wanted to appear strong on foreign policy, and she recorded that. And that just really, anybody that's seen that video, that gives you insight into how can I put her psychology, her psychopathy, if you will. She's a psychopath. One of the things about psychopaths that I've learned by, you know, listening to The Cows, The Context of White Supremacy, another independent station on the Black Talk Radio program. They just been doing a book study on psychopaths, and psychopaths don't feel any remorse. Do y'all think Hillary Clinton showed any remorse when she watched that video of them terrorists yelling Allah Akbar or Ali Akbar, whatever, God is great, in Arabic as they was brutalizing Gaddafi? She saw the video and she was like, "We came, we saw, he died." Ha, 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 ha. Laughing like an evil witch that she is. I mean, that was so demonic, man. It was just demonic. Very demonic. No person, no regular human being could have responded the way that woman responded at what took place in Libya. So just definitely wanted to share the backstory on that video. And yes, I did see it, and I circulated it wide and far. Now, let's go to WikiLeaks. This is from foreignpolicyjournal.com. It was published last year in 2016. So again, I'm telling you that CNN ain't broke nothing. They didn't break nothing. Independent journalists have been reporting on this for years. So it says, newly disclosed emails show that Libya's plan to create a gold-backed currency to compete with the euro and dollar was a motive for NATO's intervention. It wasn't what Barack Obama told you. Gaddafi killing his own people. We must be a force for good. This is a humanitarian mission. That was all a bunch of lies. Okay? Hillary Clinton told the same lies. Susan Rice at the UN told the same lies. Her emails reveal the true motive for the Libya intervention. Now, before I go into this, I'm going to tell you, I believe, based off of my research, that Syria also figured into why they would go along with the race west of the European NATO countries to overthrow Libya. France was the primary instigator because what? France still has what? Colonies in Africa. Oh, they may have their own name now, and they may have their own president and their own government, but guess whose currency they using? The French franc. So that was primarily the French motivation. The American motivation, the United States motivation, was because when they couldn't get enough support to supply the so-called rebels, I call them terrorists. Some of them was even pictured eating Syrian army soldiers' hearts, man, cutting out their hearts and eating them. I'm like, oh my God. And so their motivation was, since they couldn't get enough votes to get these terrorists a bunch of military arms and what have you, because there was some public debate about it, and the people said no, and they didn't do it. And for whatever reason, because usually called when the people say no, that don't really matter. They do what they want to do. So they figured out, hell, we'll go along with France. We'll overthrow Libya. And then we can get all of Libya's stockpiles of weapons. Now, remember, Libya didn't have any kind of weapons of mass destruction. They just had conventional weapons, because that's how they became a U.S. ally. This is, again, the United States attacking a standing ally in the war on so-called terror in Africa. Gaddafi said, okay, I won't seek nuclear weapons. I give up any kind of chemical weapons I have, and so that I can have my country open back up to the international community, get rid of all these sanctions and what have you, so Libya can become prosperous. And then Gaddafi was the first one to issue an arrest warrant for Osama bin Laden for attacks on African embassies. That was Gaddafi. So the reason they got rid, the Americans' motivation was to get those arms transferred out of Libya into the hands of them terrorists so they can try to complete the overthrow of Syria's government. But what they didn't count on was the Russians and the Chinese, to a lesser degree, coming to Syria's aid. I wish somebody had came to Libya's aid to stop this. So let me read from this article on foreignpolicyjournal.com. The New Year's Eve release, this again was in 2016, of over 3,000 new Hillary Clinton emails from the State Department has CNN abuzz over gossipy text messages. The "Who Gets to Ride with Hillary" selection process set up by her staff and high cute Hillary photo fared on Facebook. That's CNN, right? Providing you with non-essential news. But historians of the 2011 NATO war in Libya will be sure to notice a few of the truly explosive confirmations contained in the new emails. Omissions of rebel war crimes. See, again, Sidney Blumenthal got some information from one of the militia leaders that some of the militia that they were using to overthrow, or I should say terrorists, to overthrow Gaddafi's government, was targeting Africans and black Libyans and murdering them. There was a town, it was darn near all black town. I think it was called Tawerga. It was a couple of them. 30,000 black people just wiped out. Nobody know what happened to them. I hope some of them got out the country in time, but I suspect that they in the bottom of some mass grave, like that photograph that I was sharing on social media. But Hillary Clinton was told by Sidney Blumenthal, who got the information from the terrorists he was coordinating with. Again, this dude that wasn't elected, wasn't appointed, he wasn't even in government. He over there to secure his oil interests. But he told Hillary that these rebels is targeting black people. Did Hillary do anything about it? I don't know if she relayed that information to Barack Obama. He seemed to been driving Miss Daisy during the time that she was in his administration, because it seemed like to me she was calling the shots and what have you. And like the weak black person that he is, he was following along. These are the truth. I'm not trying to insult anybody or anything, but we got to get over this need for idolatry and worshiping idols. He is no reflection on us as a people. He is representative of himself, and he's responsible himself for what he did or didn't do. It goes on to say the emails revealed the omissions of rebel war crimes, special ops trainers inside Libya from nearly the start of the protest. See, it was never no protest. There was no Libyan Spring. This was all CIA orchestrated. The biggest mistake that Gaddafi made was letting the CIA set up a base and an office in Libya. But see, he was dealing with the United States in an honest, honorable manner. He was going to be their ally as long as they was going after terrorists that were destabilizing Africa. Again, first person to issue an arrest warrant for Osama bin Laden. But what did they do? They took advantage of him and they plotted right under his nose to get these terrorists who had been in prison in Libya and Gaddafi's son trying to bring some reconciliation, got these people released early. And then the CIA coordinated with them to do a so-called protest. It wasn't a protest. They were shooting people. These people were trained by CIA. Al-Qaeda was embedded in the U.S.-backed opposition. Of course they were. Al-Qaeda from the beginning has been a CIA asset. Western nations began to jockey like vultures, that's my word, for access to Libyan oil. Because see, Libya got that sweet crude oil. They don't need that much refining to be refined, is what I'm trying to say. Like this crude oil, they got that sweet oil, and it's easier to refine, and it's highly sought after, and it's very. That's how Gaddafi was doing all the infrastructure that he was doing in Libya and other parts of Africa, helping these other African nations out. That's how he was able to get those African migrants fleeing destabilized areas in Africa jobs to keep them from going into Europe. Okay? Also, those emails revealed the origins of the absurd Viagra mass rape claim. Remember, this was Susan Rice, the woman at the UN, Obama's ambassador. And they started telling people, oh, Gaddafi is hiring African mercenaries and giving them Viagra, and they just going around raping people. Fake news. CNN ran with it. MSNBC ran with it. Fox News ran with it. All your U.S.-based media ran with that without any kind of verification, because they're not real journalists, people. That's not their job. Their job is to take their cues from whatever administration they're trying to gain favor with and to promote the lies of that administration. That's what their job is. Like Malcolm X said, media controls the minds of the masses. They can make the innocent look guilty and the guilty look innocent, and that's power. Malcolm X said that back in the 60s. It played itself out in the run-up to the so-called Libyan intervention. And then finally, it talked about concern over Gaddafi's gold and silver reserves threatening European currency. And not to mention, they may not have mentioned this in the email, but Gaddafi, maybe he should not have made this public. It shouldn't have got out to the public until they was ready to put it in place. But he was going to launch a gold dinar backed currency for the African Union that would lift all African boats. That their currency would be based off of precious metals and not the funny money printed up by the Federal Reserve. This would be real money, not fake currency. And that's why they took them out, y'all. That's it right there. This came out in the emails. These emails were leaked. They weren't hacked. Well, Sidney Blumenthal's were hacked, his Gmail account. These people on Gmail, y'all, talking about this kind of stuff. Those were hacked and released through WikiLeaks. And that's why they hate Julian Assange so much. All right? This is why. And that's why I say African Union You should be ashamed of yourself after what this man was doing for y'all and what he had planned to lift all African boats. And this is how y'all repaid him, by abandoning him to these vultures, to these murderers, to these global terrorists. It's sick. It sickens me. Cause I'm sitting over here powerless to do anything but tell you the truth, or to call the representatives over my district and ask them, was you in office back then? Did you vote to authorize the Obama administration to go in Libya and do what y'all did? Did you? Because I need to know if you got blood on your hands, okay? Because that needs to be made public. And if you didn't have nothing to do with it, you need to be putting pressure on Donald Trump to go clean up Obama and Clinton's mess. Because y'all broke it. Like Colin Powell said, General Colin Powell said, who was the, the chief of staffs when I was in the Army during the Gulf War. I wish I could just take that medal and tell them to shove it up there. You know what? I gladly exchange it for a Libyan Liberation Campaign medal instead of the one they gave me over that fake war in Iraq during the Gulf War. So I'm telling you, man, that it's just a wealth of information out here on this issue. And they're saying in a foreign policy journal that the fake Viagra mass rape hoax, complete with African mercenaries, originated with Sidney Blumenthal himself. Y'all need to know who Sidney Blumenthal is. Go look him up. Look at his picture. The appropriate action, and whatever you determine to be appropriate action, I leave that to you. But appropriate action needs to be taken against this criminal. He's a criminal. And he is responsible, along with everybody else who played their role. But he is most responsible for the anti-blackness that's going on in Libya. So, again, this story has been out there. Let me give you another source of information if you want to look it up. The most comprehensive and well-documented study of the plight of black Libyans is contained in Slouching Towards CERT, NATO's War on Libya and Africa. It was published by Baraka Books, and it was written by Maximilian Forte, professor of anthropology and sociology at Concordia University in Montreal, Quebec. Let me get that source out again. Slouching Towards CERT, NATO's War on Libya and Africa. I don't think I even need to go into any more of these stories. But I'm going to say this before I get ready to wrap up tonight's program. The final call, allblackmedia.com, Blacktivity, whatever you calling yourself, whatever the name of your publication is, y'all need to stop trying to whitewash Obama's role in this and stop trying to put it all on the Europeans. And in the Final Cause article that I read today, which was just far, far too long, y'all always get suspicious when somebody throwing a bucket of words at me. I mean, going here, going there, going all over the place and trying to whitewash these Arabs' role in this. Just like when I was a part of the Save Darfur campaign back in 2007, they was making excuses for those Arabized black people in the Sudan who was enslaving other black people. Making excuses for them, trying to say, oh, that ain't really what's going on. That's the media lying to you. And all, how dare you test my intelligence? And I just read before I came on air, tried to read. I jumped through. I did my little speed reading thing. The article's so freaking long. It's probably about 3,000, 5,000 words, but it attempts to lessen Obama's role in it, in saying, like, you know, and making excuses for these Arabs. Now, I ain't blaming Islam. I ain't blaming Muslims. I ain't even blaming Arabs. I'm just telling you who's doing it, who's doing what in Libya. And if they happen to be Arab, they happen to be Arab. If they happen to be Muslim, they happen to be Muslim. So own up to that. And I wouldn't doubt that they got some Arabized blacks going along with it. This ain't got nothing to do with religion. This ain't got nothing to do with skin color. This ain't got nothing to do with party affiliation. It ain't got nothing to do with your national origin or your sex. It has to do with justice. A criminal is as a criminal does. And we're talking about war criminals. These are war crimes. These are, and I was like reading this story today. No, yesterday I came across this story about, you know, after World War II, you had a bunch of Jews who would band together and create these little groups where they go Nazi hunting. It didn't matter what country the Nazi were hiding in, they went to go get them Nazis, okay? And I'm thinking, I'm like, you know what? If some black people did that today, you better believe they would be prosecuted under the, or they wouldn't be given no pass for killing criminals like this, war criminals. They wouldn't be given no pass, but the Jews was given a pass to do that. And that's on a sidebar there. That's just a side note, but I found that awful interesting that Jewish vigilantism was smiled upon. It was even praised. These people are heroes. If I was to win the lottery tomorrow and I was to go hire some former special forces military and build me a little private army and bribe some people in Africa to allow me to stage it in their country and then go into Libya to hunt down these people, well, it'll never happen. They'll never let me do it. So I'm just disgusted, people. I'm disgusted tonight that we are, that this is happening in the 21st century. And we're being lied to about it. And then we got others making excuses for Obama simply because he's black, or making excuses for the Arabs that's playing a role in it because they Muslim. And you trying to confuse people talking about who's an African and who's not, and all this. What that got to do with you titling an article, Libya suffering slave markets in Libya, who is to blame? Then you trying to put everything on the European nations and Hillary Clinton and lessen the role of Obama because your leader didn't call for Obama to lead a new black nation. Why would I want a murderer? Why would I follow a murderer? Why would I follow somebody who has no morality, no moral code, who doesn't share the same values as I share, who while admits he's saying it's a mistake, but that's just for you. This wasn't no mistake. This was thoroughly planned. But he got time to run around cutting campaign ads to get the new French president elected. He got time to go to these powerful Euro-Americans and Europeans and talk to them about everything except for this humanitarian crisis that's going on in Libya. Getting paid $400,000 a speech to do what? Entertain white folks? Because that's what it seemed like to me. And we want to defend this man because he share a skin color with us, because his wife looked like our mothers or our wives or our daughters, and his daughters look like our daughters. No. 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 My mama raised me better than that. So I'm just saying that I'm just sitting over here angry, man. I'm angry as hell because I'm powerless. I'm powerless. The only power I have is the power of my voice and the power of the pen and to urge you to do whatever you deem is necessary to bring this serious humanitarian crisis to an end. Because it's not going to end itself. Just like slavery in the United States ain't going to end itself. It's going to take abolitionists to end it. So I don't have a solution for you. I don't have any advice to give you. Do whatever you think is best. I can tell you what I'm doing. I'm calling people. I'm putting pressure on these representatives. I'm tweeting at Donald Trump, trying to push his buttons every day. These people need immediate help like yesterday. Not next week, not next month, not next year. They need help like yesterday, like 2011 yesterday. It's pitiful, man. The world should be ashamed. And this is the last thing I'll close out with. Again, them Syrians, I'm not saying they shouldn't have gotten no attention, them refugees. The United States and others blowed up their country trying to overthrow their stable government that allowed people to practice their religion in peace. And not saying that Assad was some great good guy. I don't know that he was, but I know that country was stable and it wasn't all this murder and mayhem going on and people wasn't being run out the country. They had a choice to stay or they can go if they didn't like what was going on, how the country was being ran. But I'm not saying that those people didn't deserve the media coverage that they got. I'm not saying these people, the Rohingyas, I think I'm pronouncing that correctly, the people that's fleeing Burma right now or Myanmar, whatever that country is, they've been getting a little attention here lately. Lot of attention, actually. I was looking at Google News feed and saw, you know, oh, these people, the human rights. No, the United Nations is having a special session on these Rohingyas who's fleeing their homelands because of this war that's going on and this instability. Where's the special session on what's going on in Libya? Is it cause they too black? Is it cause they too melanated? Is it cause they hair too nappy? Why is it Libya being afforded the same humanitarian attention? There should have been a Security Council meeting on this already. And so I've sent letters to the UN or emails to the UN. I email the representatives, the senator and the congressman over the district I live in here in North Carolina. I've been tweeting at Donald Trump and Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton, calling them war criminals. Maybe I can shame both of them into saying something and saying something needs to be done and go clean up my mess. And which, I'm realistic. I don't think it's going to happen, but I'm still putting them on blast and letting everybody know that they did it. They are most responsible. You don't ask for a job and then try to deflect the blame when some heat come on the job that you did. No, you gets no pass from me under no circumstances. So anyway, that's my story tonight. Do what you can. I'm going to take this last call. 646, thank you for calling in the BTR News. Go ahead with your question or comment.
Peace, Brother Scotty. Thanks for taking my call. This is Tag, and peace to everyone. I'll be very brief because you're closing out. I only caught the tail end of the broadcast again, unfortunately, these past few minutes, but I absolutely connect with, you know, your frustrations around the utter disaster and crisis that has occurred and is occurring in Libya. And so I just wanted to share with the BTR community at large something that I was thinking about the other day, which is just that I hear what you're saying as far as feeling powerless, but, you know, of course, you know that with the pen, with the microphone, you know, with this broadcast, you know, you are influencing, you know, a great deal, and that we do have a capacity to influence through these various channels. And so I just wanted to put out there for anyone who might be listening who engages in street art or the like, it would be a great look if we had more of a visual presence of Gaddafi out here. You know, I'm here in NYC, you know, and we see throw-ups and, you know, graffiti of all types, you know, all over the place. Certainly it's been curtailed, you know, since its heyday, but that's one, you know, area of media that is still, you know, less, you know, strangled by these corporate and state interests, even though, you know, they're constantly trying to police the boundaries of that. But, you know, those of y'all that you know, bomb and the like, that are nice at graffiti, or, you know, or if you know heads who are, I feel as though if people were to see images of Gaddafi, you know, executed in such a way, it might, you know, connect with them and, you know, promote that thought process of like, well, hold on, who is this individual? What did happen? Because part of the problem, of course, as you know, and as you've articulated, is that the whole apparatus has completely flipped the script as regards Gaddafi and Libya. And so there's just mass confusion and you know, it's deeply miscomprehended. You know, the misinformation and disinformation campaign around Libya has unfortunately been largely successful. So that's just one suggestion. And thanks again for taking my call.
Thanks, Tag. And thank you, man, for the work you've done over the years with Black Talk Media Project. And you have a good night, man.
You as well. Much appreciated.
And Tag's right. I know the power of this platform. I've seen that we made a difference, especially in raising awareness that slavery was never abolished and the 13th Amendment simply transformed it to prison slavery, and with the whole convict leasing and 90% occupancy rates and things of that nature. But I'm not a young man anymore, and I'm just looking back over my life, and I joined the military as a 20-year-old looking for college money and just being real about it, not even considering what I was joining, what I might be called upon to do, and participating in the Gulf War and being awarded the Southwest Asia Campaign Medal. What a military campaign, they name them, and y'all might know it as Desert Shield, Desert Storm, and whatnot. And then contributing to what I contributed to in the Gulf War, but not being able to take similar action for just war. And that's to put these rabid dogs down in Libya. I would gladly trade that medal in for a Libyan Free Libya campaign medal. But I'm not a young man anymore. I'm not in the mercenary community. I don't have any mercenary contacts or anything like that. I don't have a way to go over there, and I don't think that will be the best use of my talents to begin with. But I'm just simply sad that I can't do something on the ground there to contribute. But I'm not going to minimize the power of the media, because Malcolm X said it is the most powerful entity on the planet. We're going to take one more call. We got 662 wants to chime in again with some new thoughts. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, Scotty, thank you. And like I said, I appreciate you speaking and allowing me to be part of your platform. But as you have said, and the brother just got off, that sometimes I wonder if it's not so much as we see things, but I believe that we have came to a place where we are, I don't know if it's afraid or what the case may be, but we won't speak out against our leaders if they skin color as I am, or a black man, and for some reason we shuns away from that. We justifies they evil doings or they injustice,
And right here in Memphis, there's a thing taking place with the schools. They have a superintendent that are now, I'm just bringing this up to show you how we have came to a place where we want to justify, minimize us doing wrong in places where we want to crucify the Europeans. And like I say, a bad sandwich is a bad sandwich. I don't care what hand is giving it to me. And he's denying the parents of the students that are, excuse me, wanting to take their children out of a public school and put them in a charter school. He will not release the records of the student to the parents. So
denying them their self-determination.
Beg pardon?
He's denying the parents their self-determination.
Absolutely. A black man is doing this. Now, what would be the difference if there was a European doing it or a black man? He is wrong. And as Obama did wrong, and a lot of people, you speak of that, they don't want to hear. And I'm just so glad to hear you speaking on the terms that I have thought and looked at and saddened about. When I seen certain things, I could have cried. And I wonder, why did it have to be a black man to put in this position before, and he does such hideous things and hide, and we pretend that he's done such great things? I don't understand. I am confused as an elder person myself. And I, with that, that's all I want to say. Thank you for allowing me to speak.
You're welcome, sir. I put it on idolatry. Some of it stems from low self-esteem, from living in an anti-black society that gives us a bunch of negative images about black people. So when seemingly doesn't mean it's the actual truth for the matter, but seemingly when a positive figure comes along and they share that person's culture or skin color or label or whatever, then that low self-esteem grabs onto that individual and feeds off of it. And then they use that to tell other people, see, we can be presidents too. See, we can run the world too. We can do this. We can do that. And so some of it comes from that. And then these individuals aren't really deep into studying these issues and you know, analyzing what's happening on a global scale. They just want a symbol. And I can understand that on a certain level. But then when it gets to the point when you denying what these people are doing or have done, that becomes a problem. That becomes a problem for me. It should be a problem, period, for everybody. We don't need idolatry in our community, all right? We don't need that. Now, last thing, Tag mentioned, which is a good idea. Tag was talking about throwing up the graffiti artists out there, street artists out there, throwing up these images of Gaddafi and what have you. Yes, that's a good idea. Now, you're going to always hear Gaddafi referred to as a dictator. I want to share with you, and I know this is true because I've done research, and over the years, I know this to be true about Gaddafi. But someone posted a meme on one of my stories on social media about Gaddafi. This is what the meme says. They say this is the best country to live in, right? And we killed a dictator, they say, named Gaddafi. Here's some facts on Libya. And let me know if America is so much better. In Libya, it's a human right to have a house in Libya. They give you one. All loans are 0% interest free by law. Going to school and universities for any degree is free of charge. Electricity is free. If you buy a car, the government paid 50% off the car's price. Gasoline was 14 cents per gallon. If you want a garden or want it to be a farmer, acres of land is given to you. And he says, I'm still owed 20 acres and a mule here in the United States. And he said, last but not least, Libya was debt free. That's who Libya was under Gaddafi. You call that a dictator? Why? Because he was the supreme leader and had all the power? Well, you know, that's what they call kings and stuff. Kings and queens are dictators too. Okay, but it's not whether or not they assign a title of dictator, it's how they actually ruling the country. And this Libya had the highest standard of living in Africa. I would dare say all over the world when you check off all those boxes. Man, no wonder those African immigrants stayed in Libya instead of trying to get to Europe, because they were getting help. The people, well, how the saying go, Mr. Fuller say, the people in a system of justice, the people who need the most help, get help. That was Libya. Look at Libya. That's Gaddafi's legacy. Not the lies told to you by this country to justify his murder. All right, this has been Scotty Reed with a BTR Black Talk Radio News report again during my new time, Tuesdays, 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern to 10 o'clock p.m. Eastern. Sometimes I go over. That's cool. There's no live programming coming on after me, but I will definitely make that my permanent date for the foreseeable future. But don't forget, I do put out a little individual podcast from time to time. I also put out videos on our YouTube channel, which I do share on our platform, blacktalkradionetwork.com. So definitely there is a lot more of independent media produced by black people to be found on blacktalkradionetwork.com, which is managed by the U.S.-based nonprofit Black Talk Media Project. If you like the work that we do, please make a donation, whatever you can. I don't care if it's only 50 cents. If that's what you got to put in the pot, that's what you got to put in the pot. And we appreciate all contributions. Don't forget BTRcommunity.com, which is our Facebook-like. It's not Facebook. It don't work exactly like Facebook, but it's Facebook-like social media platform that we set up for the listeners of this network. It does have a $24 a year membership subscription, $1 a week or $5 a month. I will be changing that by the weekend. Nobody, if you cancel your subscription, you will not be kicked out. We're just going to have an initial membership fee for new members of $24 a year. And that's it. That's it. Could we use the recurring donations? Certainly we can, but I also recognize that we are not, as a people, in the best financial position at this time. And therefore, I don't feel like a person's ability to be able to communicate, to virtually break bread and share information and promote their businesses to the collective, I don't think that should be based on their ability to pay. So if they can make that initial donation, You in there for life, for the life of however BTR Community and Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project is around. With that said, I want to stress to you that this is a very serious humanitarian crisis that has been ongoing for a number of years in Libya. Unfortunately, it took some CNN, a news outlet, that pushed fake news to make what happened happen. Is now being cited as the source after they little report of now all of this outrage. I'm glad the outrage is out there, but I'm saying independent media has been telling you this for years. And it's just sad that we take our cues from the corporate media, from people who don't look like us, who don't have us as their primary beneficiaries, who don't have a problem with telling lies. And they have a history of this. All right. So, you know, we got to support our independent media producers, whether they on Black Talk Radio Network or if they over there on Breaking Brown or any other independent outlets out there that you enjoy, because Black Agenda Report. Look, we ain't gonna be around if we don't get support. Y'all see how them conservatives supporting that phony fraud of a journalist calling himself a journalist, James O'Keefe. He paying himself $300,000 a year. How do you justify that kind of salary? That's more than the president of the United States make. I would be happy if I could just pay myself $60,000 a year. Okay? But, you know, I don't do this to be paid. I do it as a labor of love. And we'll be around as long as it's possible for us to be around. Slavery is happening all over the planet, not just in Libya. And I'm talking about illegal slavery that's outlawed, that's a violation of human rights. I'm making a distinction here. It's happening not just in Libya. It's happening in other parts of Africa, other parts of Asia, other parts of South America. This is going on, just not to the degree that is going on in Libya and Mauritania. And if you call yourself an abolitionist against slavery, then we got to expand our advocacy beyond just the legalized slavery, which was codified by the 13th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution, which simply took it from the plantation and put it in the prisons. We got to expand the abolitionist community to also address these sort of crises that's going on in Libya right now. With that said, y'all be safe. Slave catchers abound. Always looking to put somebody into this new slavery during this new millennium. And you have to be aware of your surroundings and hopefully not engaging in activity to attract attention to yourself to give them justification to put you into slavery. With that said, y'all be safe out there. Peace and blessings to all.